Okay, we ready to go?
Ready.
Okay. Hello, Stern College and Cy Sims. Thank you very much, Rachel, for the opportunity, Rachel. Really appreciate it. I was really looking forward to being there live. I always like to come. The commute was a little better this time. We are all sort of stuck in this situation together at this point. I don't know what I was originally going to talk about. I guess when I agreed to speak a couple of weeks before Pesach, I assumed I would talk about something related to Pesach, but probably perhaps something related to Tefillah as well. But these times call for reevaluating what we're thinking about, what we're learning about, what we're talking about. And in that sense, I want to do something that I think, you know, very, very clearly relates to our time. Rabbi Soloveitchik, in Festival of Freedom, as he's quoted in Festival of Freedom, writes that in my experiential, not intellectual memory, two nights stand out as singular, as endowed with a unique and fascinating quality, exalted in their holiness and shining with a dazzling beauty, the night of the Seder and the night of Kol Nidre. As a child, I was fascinated, indeed entranced, by these two clear moonlit nights, both wrapped in grandeur and majesty. I used to feel stimulated, aroused, inspired. Illuminating vision heightened my senses, which were sharpened and liberated from all inhibitions. A strange silence, stillness, peace, quiet, and serenity enveloped me. I surrendered to a stream of inflowing joy and ecstasy. Rabbi Soloveitchik writes about how he would have siddurim with his holy family. And the way he writes about it, the experiential experience, the experiential memories, not the intellectual memories, very much reminds us the way that a child might experience something like a Seder or a Kol Nidre night. The reality is that we continue to experience Kol Nidre night in that way, but we don't generally experience the Seder that way. Kol Nidre night is a night where, although one may, after Ma'ariv, stick around for a shir, and the shir might even be on something like the Yom Kippur Avoda, that's what we do in yeshiva, the shir on the Yom Kippur Avoda, Rabbi Berman gives a shir at that point. But it's not generally a night that I come to with a stack of books. I don't come with a stack of books into Kol Nidre night. I don't come with a stack of sheets. The little kids don't come in with their special machzers that they made for Yom Kippur with stacks and stacks of Divrei Torah. We still experience Kol Nidre night essentially the same as we did when we were children, with a sense of coming just as ourselves, as children before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to experience the evening. The Seder, of course, is much different. The Seder has become much more of an intellectual experience. It's a time when there are stacks and stacks of Divrei Torah and Chakiras being made. And perhaps that has actually taken away from what the Seder night is supposed to be, not added to it. There's no doubt that the Chachamim sitting in Bnei Brak felt that Kol HaMarbe L'Saper, and I'm sure that they had some tremendous Divrei Torah and Chidushim sitting there in Bnei Brak when they discussed the Nisim and the Niflos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Seder is a night of faith. The Seder is perhaps the most important night of faith that we have. The Seder is an opportunity for one generation to pass to another, and for one person to pass to another, the fundamentals and the basics of what we believe. Yetzias Mitzrayim isn't just a holiday that we celebrate. It's not just something that happened in the past that we try to celebrate. It's in many ways the foundation of our faith. According to many of the Rishonim, many of the Balei HaMachshava, it's all about Yetzias Mitzrayim. the things that we learned at Yetzias Mitzrayim, the things we learned through Yetzias Mitzrayim, are the fundamentals of who we are and what we believe. The Seder night is not actually a time to sit with great stacks of Divrei Torah talking about gematrias and all these different stories and this and that. The Seder night is a time to talk about what we believe. It's a time to talk about what we believe. What we believe about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what we believe about Jewish history, what we believe about difficult times, what we believe about Gullus, and what we believe about Gula. Probably the best way to get something out of a Seder is to make sure that over the course of a Seder, we discuss some of the fundamental hashkafic ideas. The fundamental hashkafic ideas that underlie, that's not found in some cute vort. It's not found in some 46th explanation of why we have the Dalet Kosos or exactly what this represents or that represents. The Seder is a time to discuss some basic things. It is, in fact, the most important night to do that. It is so sad that this year, some of that will be there, but some of that will be taken away. The place of the grandparent at the Seder is not simply to be able to get together with our relatives and to be able to be there with those we love, and it's not simply for the grandparents to get nachas from their grandchildren. The place of the grandparent at the Seder is as the Masorah. The idea that the grandparent reaches over the generations and the grandparent can transmit a Masorah of what happened to us and what we believe and what happened at the beginning of our history. It's so sad that we won't be able to really have that Seder. And yet, it could very well be that this will be the upcoming Seder that we have if we are still here in Gullus, and who knows, we still have a good 10 days to perhaps still make it to the Beis HaMikdash. But if we're still here in Gullus and we're still here under this lockdown, it's very possible that we'll have some of the most meaningful Sedarim that we've ever had. Because the little kids don't have their Divrei Torah from school. And there aren't so many people around the table that side conversations are going to break out. And there's not going to be stacks of people that you have to call on. It is nice to say the Manishtana 62 times and have everybody at the family say it, but it doesn't necessarily deepen our understanding of our faith and of what the Exodus meant. We're about to walk into a Seder that's very likely going to be what a Seder really should be. What a Seder really should be, which is an opportunity to talk about being scared, about being in darkness, about hoping to be able to go from a state of shibud to a state of gul. You know, at the beginning of the Seder, every year at the Penners, so I have a number of things that I say to the many people who gather. One of the things that I say is that we're here to celebrate three Sedarim. It's not just that the Seder is going to last as long as three times longer than you expected, but we're here to celebrate three different Sedar. We're going to celebrate a Seder this year for 2020, for Tufshin Pei. The Seder needs to be a reflection of what's going on now. And oh boy, will our Sedarim this year reflect that. There are some years where you wonder if the Seder is plucked out of time. And that's not what a Seder is supposed to be. A Seder, which is an expression of our faith and a passing on of the Masorah, has to relate to each and every generation, b'chol dor v'ador. This year we will do that. There's no doubt that our Sedarim will be timely Sedarim. There'll be Sedarim where we speak of current events and we relate what happened at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim to today. That's one Seder. So it has to be a Seder of Tufshin Pei. It also, in certain ways, is a Seder of the times of the Beis HaMikdash. We do certain things as if we're eating the Korban Pesach, or at least as if the Korban Pesach is around. We don't actually get so close as to pretend that we're eating Kodshim Bachutz, but there are certain things. Some explain that that's the reason why we do Urchatz. Why do we do an extra washing We do an extra washing because that was the practice when we would be eating a real korban. So we do certain things to mimic a Seder in Yerushalayim. But there's another Seder. There's another Seder that we are mimicking when we have our Seder at home. And that's that very strange first Seder that they had in Egypt. Do you know when the first Seder was? The first Seder was in Egypt before we left. And it leaves many, many questions as to what exactly went on at that Seder. What parts did they do? What parts did they not do? But it's very clear from the 12th perek of Shemos that they had a Seder even in Egypt. And it's that Seder, as we'll speak about, that I think becomes such an area of focus for us, such an area to re-experience this year, that first Seder in Mitzrayim. We'll talk about that as we go forward. I want to give one particular example this evening. I want to learn together. I want to speak about one particular idea for the Seder. And again, I say this not as a vort. We have a lot of vortluch for the Seder, but the Seder is not about vortluch. The Seder is about emunah. It's about emunah. We have to be willing to talk openly about our emunah. You're all younger people on this Zoom. I'm not speaking to people who have school-age children, except maybe for one. We have to be able to express our emunah in words. So often we allow our children to assume things, but we don't put them in words. What do Ima and Abba believe about God? What is the role of Ima and Abba with God? When they're davening, are they davening or are they talking to God? Do they have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Do they think that when things happen, it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it? That's what the Seder is about. So I want to share with you one idea this evening that's in that line. This is not something to say over as a whole in the Seder, but something that you might add, because again, it speaks to the fundamentals of what we are. I'll share the screen here. Do I have rishus to do that? Rachel, if I could get share screening ability. I understand why we don't want to share it everything. Okay, hold on.
I have on mine a button that says share screen. Do you have at the bottom?
Yes, but you're the host. So go to participants.
Oh, I'm not even the host.
Who is the host?
Good question. No, I don't think anyone.
Do we have a host?
Not on this. I think it was set up for all of our events.
Okay.
Let me see what I can do.
Okay. See if you can get us a host, because then I'll put up a few sources.
Okay.
Okay. Find us a host. No one here looks like they're the host. I'm going through the list. Nice to see so many of you. Well, sort of see your names.
Okay, working on it.
See if you can do that. Great. Okay.
I think it's also possible to post in the chat.
Oh.
And then everybody can
do that. That'll probably not going to figure out, but okay. There we go. Let's see. That would take a lot of going back and forth. So hold on.
Can you chat to everyone and then attach?
I'm going to try that. That's going to slow us down a little bit, but we'll try to move more quickly through everything else. Then let's see how this goes. Okay. It's going to come about. There we go. Mishnah Psachim says as follows. Mishnah Psachim says, Rabbi Gamliel Haya Omer. Famous Mishnah we say as part of the Seder. Rabbi Gamliel Haya Omer, Kol Shalom Omer, Shloshu Dvarim Elu, B'Pesach, Lo Yotzi Yedei Chavasa. Right. We all know this, probably the most important part of the Seder. And in fact, if someone is helping out a lot at the Seder and is to serve, and this year there shouldn't be that much to do, this is the part of the Seder that is the key. I mean, Leo says that if a person doesn't mention these three things, Pesach, Matzah, Maror, So if you don't mention those three things, so you're not Yotze. You're not Yotze. Of course, there's a famous machlokas in the Rishonim as to what exactly it is that you're not Yotze. Are you not Yotze the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? In other words, you can't just tell a story. It would be fascinating from a from an educational perspective in terms of the fact that we all know that people learn in different ways. Some people are more visuals. People use their different senses. The Seder is so important that we're not going to count out someone who learns best just by listening. We're going to have actual symbols, things you could see, things you could taste, because it's so important. Nobody can leave the Seder unmoved. No one can leave the Seder the same person that they were when they walked in. So Rabbi Gamliel says you have to have these three things, right? Everybody knows these. Pesach, Matzah, Umar. Pesach, why do we have the Pesach? Ashum sheposach hamakom abotei avoseinu b'mitzrayim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu pesached over the houses of our forefathers in Egypt. Just an interesting aside, what exactly does the word Pesach mean? What exactly does the word Pesach mean? So we generally assume, everybody knows Pesach means to pass over, right? And we assume that the way it worked was that he passed over your house, and that way you were saved. So in other words, you didn't want a Kadosh Baruch Hu in your house? You didn't want the Malach HaMavis, you didn't want the Mashchas in your house. But what does that mean you didn't want a Kadosh Baruch Hu in your house? I'd want a Kadosh Baruch Hu in my house. So there's, of course, a very famous pasuk in the story with Eliyahu and Har Carmel. I referenced that in a shir I spoke about last week, where we speak about the Jews, that whole incident. The Jewish people were between worship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and worship of the Baal. And what does Eliyahu say to them? Ad mosai atem poschim al shtei ha-se'ifim. Ad mosai, until when will you be poschim al shtei ha-se'ifim? What does that mean? What does that image mean? It means to kind of hop back and forth on both sides of the barrier. You can't figure out, are you on the Baal side? But poseach doesn't really mean to jump over. It means to step into. Poseach probably doesn't mean to pass over. It probably means to step into, to put one foot down, to put a foot down. Now the pasuk is very different, right? What it means, Asrum sheposach hamakom al batei avosinu Mitzrayim, he stepped onto the homes. He stepped into the homes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu stepped into the homes and protected us. Pesach probably doesn't mean pass over. It probably means step in. The homes where HaKadosh Baruch Hu stepped in, those were the homes that were saved, and he didn't allow the mashkas to come into the home. It's a very powerful image, especially for this year. But let's go to the next. Matzah shum shenigolo asinu Mitzrayim. Matzah was because we were saved, and it happened quickly. We're going to leave off matzah, although that's a very strange phrase. Moror. Al shum shemeru hamitzrim eschaya vosenu b'mitzray. Maror was because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the Mitzrim, made our lives miserable in Egypt. Thank you. I'm so happy to be a host. Here we go. Aha. There we go. Okay, very good. Okay, now it looks so nice. There we go. Okay, good. Marar ashum shemeru amitzrim aschaya vosenu Mitzrayim, right? Why do we eat marar? Anybody, raise your hand. Talk to your computer.
I can't hear you. It's okay.
Talk to your computer. Why is it that we eat marar? Everybody knows why we eat marar. Because the Egyptians made us miserable, right? The Egyptians made us miserable, and that's why, in fact, we eat marar. No big chiddush here. Why does Rabbi Gamliel even need to say that? The Pesach, I guess, is a little, we don't know exactly the relationship between the Korban. I guess it's the same word, Pesach, Posach, but the Korban is a Korban. The Matzah, well, we know actually that the Matzah is not so simple why we eat the Matzah. The Matzah we eat perhaps because we ate it in Mitzrayim, perhaps because it baked quickly, but certainly Matzah in and of itself doesn't speak of Geula. But Maror, everybody knows why we eat Maror. It's bitter because our lives are bitter. So what exactly is it? Pashtus is that he's just telling us something that we basically know. Nobody gets too excited about that when we say that that's the reason why we ate Maror. But I have a question. If that's the case, Why did they eat maror at the first Seder? Why did they eat maror at the first Seder? They needed to remember that there was a slavery. They needed to recall that their lives were bitter in Egypt. They were sitting in their slave homes, wearing their slave clothes, surrounded by their Egyptian taskmasters. Yes, perhaps it had been a couple of months since the slavery passed. Perhaps even though they hadn't left Egypt, there was a little time. But what is that? But in fact, at the very first Seder, they were commanded to do so. This is the first Seder. This is the 10th of Nisan in the year that they got out. V'yimat abayis miyos miseva lo kachu shcheinu yishe get together. Ish lefi ochlo. Set tomim zohar ben shana. Vayalachem lemishmeres ad arba asar yom lachodesh hazeh. You should hold on to it till the 14th day. V'shachatu oso. Kol kahal adas Yisrael ben arbayim. V'lochum min adam. V'nosnu ashtei amazuzos. Dramatic. You're supposed to put it on the doorpost. V'ala mashkov. We're supposed to remember that he took us out of that we were slaves in Egypt that first night. How could you forget that we were slaves in Egypt? What else could it have been there for? Vavarti be'eretz Mitzrayim b'layla zevi kesi kol b'chor be'eretz Mitzrayim me'odem v'ad behemu v'chol Elohei Mitzrayim es ha'shvatim ani Hashem. What exactly was the role of the Maror? Now you might tell me, come on, Rabbi, it's a Seder. A Seder is a Seder. They had the same Maxwell House Haggadahs that we have. So what, you're going to make one Haggadah for Mitzrayim and then in years later you're going to make another Haggadah? The point was, this was the model Seder. Just like in school, or in an old age home, you make a shtickel, a model Seder the week before, and then afterwards you make the real Seder. So that's exactly what this was. But it doesn't seem to be that way. Because the Mishnah in Pesachim actually refers to Pesach Mitzrayim as a one-time event. Ma bein Pesach Mitzrayim la Pesach Doros. What is the difference between Pesach that one time and Pesach every other time till the end of history? Pesach Mitzrayim mikachomi be'asor. As we saw, Pesach Mitzrayim, there's a special mitzvah to take the Korban Pesach on the 10th. That mitzvah doesn't exist in future years. You don't have to tie it up and tie it to your bedpost when you're living in Yerushalayim at the time of the Mikdash. V'ta'un ha'za'ah b'agudas ezov ala mashkov v'ashtei ha'mezuzos. And you have to put the blood on the doorpost. Thank God we don't have to do that in our homes every single year. That was a one-time event. V'ne'achal b'chipazon b'layla echad. And you have to eat it. B'chipazon. You have to eat it with a sense of urgency. The sense of urgency that this is it. We're going to get out. That first Seder was unlike any other Seder. It was not built as a model Seder for future years. You're not supposed to do the same kinds of things like that. Pesach Doros was different. Pesach Doros was Noe Kol Shiv, was a seven-day holiday. The first time it was one Seder. It was a moment in time. So why, I'll ask you, was there Maror at the first Seder? If the purpose of the Maror was to remember that we were slaves in Egypt, it's a very, very strange thing to have when we still are slaves in Egypt. Maybe there's another way to understand the Maror. It's a very fascinating, or actually very simple, explanation that can be found in the Or HaChaim, in his commentary to this Seder. Umatzal Samaru. Why do we have this? So he says, Lefi Pshat HaKasov, Lefi Mashirainu, She'amar Hashem Shetzarach Tzli'esh V'shiyesh Shalem. All of these details. Why do we need all these details? Why does God care so much that the korban be roasted and it be shalem? Zeyagid shadas elyon hu laharos b'china hagdula v'acheres ve'en rishos acher melem. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to show them is you have to have a big feast. You have to eat like royalty tonight, because we have to show that you are free men and nobody can control you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has freed you, et cetera, et cetera. That's why you have to eat roasted meat, a whole animal. Ulefizeh, listen to what he says. Somehow the Or HaChaim never opened a Haggadah in his life. Ulefizeh, gam ha-merorim shi-yitzav Hashem, hu-letzad ki-chein derech och-lei tzli le-echol imo davar chad. Why do you have to have maror at the Seder? Because it tastes good with lamb. That's why. Ki chein derech otzlei tzli. Those who have roast lamb, right? Those who eat roast lamb. It's the derech le'echol imo davar chad. You should have something sharp with it. Maror is chrein. Maror is the lettuce in your lafa. Ki bazeh ya'aroch l'cheicha ochel v'yochal b'chol os nafsho, avas nafsho. Because it's going to make it taste good. Gam bazeh yukar godel ha'arevus k'shiyakten l'fiv marorim. And you're going to really appreciate the sweetness of the meat because you had the maror first. That's what it means. That's what it means. What a crazy Or HaChaim. Or HaChaim, we never read that. We know the reason why you eat maror is because they made our lives miserable in Egypt. It's not because it tastes good with lamb. He's talking about shawarma. It's mamish alafa that he's talking about here. You have the lafa, you put in the shawarma, you put in the lettuce, you put in a little harif, and the thing tastes great. That's why we have maror, says the Or HaChaim. It's very, very strange. Maybe what the Or HaChaim is explaining is not why we have maror today, but maybe he's telling us why we had maror that first Seder. You can't say that the reason why we had the maror at the first Seder was simply to remind us that we were slaves in Egypt. We were still in Egypt. We were still slaves. How are you going to say that? Perhaps the reason why we had the maror that first time was because that night was about showing who we were. We were free men. We were free men, free women. We had to eat like royalty. And when you eat like royalty, nobody eats their lamb without a little harif. Nobody, no self-respecting noble is going to eat their lamb without having a little bit of a side dish, a little bit of a condiment that's going to make it taste perfect. Very, very strange. But that's the Or HaChaim. But perhaps the Or HaChaim is saying something actually that's even more profound, and we'll see that as we read on in the Or HaChaim. But before we see the Or HaChaim, I want to point out another very strange thing. We said that the mitzvah of Maror, at least in most of the generations, was to remember that we were slaves in Egypt. And we didn't really need a reminder that first night, but we do need a reminder the second year, the second generation, the third generation, the fourth generation. And I would imagine that as time went on, the need to remember that we were slaves in Egypt would be more and more necessary. How could someone today relate to the fact that we were slaves in Egypt? It's so hard to imagine such a concept. What does that mean? So I would imagine as the generations went on, we would need more and more to have maror. But as we know, and as the Gemara tells us in Pesachim, Amar Rav, Matzah Bizman Hazeh De'oraisa, there still is a mitzvah from the Torah to eat matzah. Umaror De'rabanan. That's strange. Maror became only a mitzvah De'rabanan at some point? Why is that? I mean, it's not necessary for us to know today. It's easier for us to remember that we were slaves in Egypt. Dichsiv al matzos umarorim, that you have to eat the Korban Pesach with matzah and maror. Bizman de'ika Pesach, yesh maror. If you have a Korban Pesach, there's a mitzvah from the Torah to eat maror. Bizman de'leika Pesach, leika maror. If you don't have a Korban Pesach, there's no mitzvah from the Torah to eat maror. Why? If the purpose of the maror is to remember that we were slaves in Egypt, then who cares if there's a Korban Pesach? Why? It sounds like it has to also be a chrein. If we don't have lamb, you don't have to have the horseradish. You don't have to have the lettuce in your sandwich. But the lettuce in your sandwich is to remind you that you were slaves. Why does one thing change with the other? The Gemara then says parenthetically, matzah nami, haksi val matzos umarobsin. And why takash matzah be? The Gemara says, matzah mehadar beikra, ve'erev tochlu matzos. There's a separate pasuk. Matzah seems to have an independent identity outside of being the bread that surrounds the lamb. But when it comes to marah, marah doesn't seem to have this independent identity. And that's so strange. Why should that be? Why should remembering the fact that we were slaves have anything to do with whether or not we have a Korban Pesach today? As time goes on, we should need to remember that even more. The Rambam, interestingly, highlights this point. Because the Rambam speaks about the mitzvah of Korech. Now we know that the mitzvah of Korech is to put together at least the matzah and the maror, maybe the matzah and the maror and the Pesach, to put them together, to eat them as a package. Now the Rambam holds that you don't actually put the meat in together with it, but you eat it together with it. You make a sandwich out of the matzah and the maror. Okay? And then you have the meat on the side, and you're kind of eating from both of them. The Rambam paskins here, the achar kach korech matzah umaror ke'achat. The Rambam seems to say that the biblical way, this is talking about at the time that we had the korban. At the time that we had the korban, so this was in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, so he paskins that we're supposed to eat the matzah and the maror together. Supposed to eat the matzah and the maror together. Supposed to be some sort of combining. Al matzos umorim yochalu. Bizman hazeh she'ein sham korban. Today, when there's no korban Pesach, chozer v'korech matza umar v'ochlan below bracha zecher lemikdash. We all know we say that. We say kach hilo haya omer bizman shabes hamikdash kayim. What do you mean bizman shabes hamikdash kayim? Why should combining the elements be a din only at the time that the Beis Hamikdash was kayim? In other words, the Rambam says in the beginning of the halachos here that at the time of the Beis Hamikdash, when you have a korban, there's a mitzvah to combine the elements. There's a mitzvah to bring the matzah and the maror together. But when there's no korban, so you don't have to put the matzah and the maror. We just do it because we remember that that's the way they used to do it in the Beis Hamikdash. What does putting it together have to do with the Beis Hamikdash? Why should it be that bizman de'ika Pesach yesh marer? When we have korban Pesach, we have marer. And when we don't have a korban Pesach, what does that have to do with remembering the fact that we were slaves in Mitzrayim? So the answer, I believe, is as follows. Please listen closely. There are two aspects of marer. One aspect of marer is to remember that we were slaves in Mitzrayim. Another aspect of Mar is to take that merirus, to take that most difficult time and to put it into the context of what happened. To put it into the context of a Pesach. You see, there are two different things. One thing is to merely remember that there is difficulty, to remember that we were slaves in Egypt, to remember that our lives were difficult. That, I would suggest, is just a mitzvah midirabbanan. To simply remember that things were difficult, it sets a stage for things, but why is that fundamental to the Korban, to the Seder night, to remember that we were slaves in Egypt? The meaning of the fact that we were slaves in Egypt was that we were slaves in Egypt and then we were redeemed. The Pesach represents redemption. The Pesach represents that moment in time when everything came together and we realized that all those years that we had been slaves in Egypt were only leading up to that moment. When we have a Pesach, the maror takes on an additional element. It's not just the din derabanan that you're supposed to remember that we were slaves in Egypt. When we have the Pesach, when we can taste the Geula, we can put the Maror in the context of that Geula. And in the words of the Or HaChaim, that Maror becomes a spice in the Korban Pesach. The Chrein, the Maror, when you eat it alone, it's bitter. And it's only bitter. That's the mitzvah midrabanan, to remember that there was bitterness. When you eat it in the context of the Korban Pesach, it fundamentally changes. It's no longer bitter. It actually makes the Korban Pesach sweeter. It makes the Geula sweeter. Why was it that we had to have Maror at that first Seder in Mitzrayim? So that we could remember that we were slaves in Egypt? How could we forget that we were slaves in Egypt? How could there be a mitzvah in HaTorah at the first Seder to simply remember that we were there? We're still there in our slave homes. The mitzvah wasn't to eat the Maror. It's very clear what the role of Maror is. Al matzos umarorim yocholuhu. You're supposed to eat the Pesach and take all of those years of bitterness and to put it into the context of the Geula. Because if there is no Geula, then there's no mitzvah to remember that there was suffering. If the suffering has no purpose, if the suffering is towards no greater goal, if the suffering is not brought to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if the suffering is not there for a reason, there's no reason to have it at the Seder. The Seder is not about remembering that life was difficult. The Seder is about taking those difficult times in our life and realizing, or at least praying that we should realize, that it was part of a larger plan and it was there for a reason. Why did they have Maror at that first Seder? So that they could literally and figuratively put it in the context of the Pesach. Take that Maror, take all those years of slavery, all those years of asking why, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Keili, Lama Azavtani, why did you leave us here? To realize that he didn't leave us there. To realize, as difficult as it may be, that there was something accomplished by the Golus. There was something accomplished by the slavery. There was something that we changed, that we were reborn, that we were created, we were molded into something. Whatever exactly it is, and the purpose of the shiur is not to try to give explanations. There's a famous Haggadah put out by Soy many, many, many eons ago, a little even before my time, which gave a whole explanation of different approaches to what could have been that we needed to be slaves for all those years. The Seder will say, why are we thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for taking us out of Mitzrayim? Isn't he the one that put us there in the first place? That's not the way we think about it. We only think about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out. But to truly fulfill the mitzvah in HaTorah is to then take all of that bitterness and to put it into the context of the Pesach. Says the Or HaChaim, Vihine Gimel Asarigim Yatimu Yachad. All of these pieces, all of these branches, sarigim, are like the branches of in grapes. One of them is the galus, that they made our lives miserable. Habez hi hayitzia tekef umiyad. The second is that we were taken out immediately, and the third, asher pasach Hashem al bateihem. And he says in the underlined here, Ushloshes ha'inyonim yachad ha'yitzrich lios. To get to the Pesach sandwich, you had to have all three pieces. V'zulas echad einis b'shnayim achirim. And you have no Pesach unless the other two. She'im lo haya ha'golos. Lo hayu masigim asher hisigu mehatziruf u'mashabiru. If it wasn't for the galus, we wouldn't have been perfect, been refined. You can't say that to somebody unless it's the night of the Geula. You can't say to somebody in the middle of a crisis that this is the reason why it's happening and this is the advantage and this is what's coming. You can pray, try to improve yourself, but you can't say it unless you have this together. Interestingly, the ilulopaya mahirus shiasiya Hashem hayuchozu mishtakim borim misvarim. If it wasn't that it happened so quickly, we wouldn't have stuck with it. Had we had a chance to really Iker HaGa'ula Hiyapsicha. That's the secret of Hillel. Why is it that the Rambam says that at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there's a mitzvah, the way you're supposed to do it is to put the together, at least the matzah and the mar right on the side of the Pesach. And then when we no longer have Pesach, so there's not even a mitzvah to put them together. Because that's the whole idea. The idea is that matzah without Pesach, just to simply remember that we had a galus, to simply remember that we cried, to simply remember all the tragedy. That's just the mitzvah derabanan. The mitzvah min haTorah is dafka to put it together, is dafka to put the ingredients together. And whether you're putting the two together on the side of the one or you're putting all three together, the idea is that the biblical mitzvah of maror is to take the sadness and to put that into the context of the geula. To take all of those years of difficulty and to say, now I get it. And suddenly making sense. Beautiful parak in Tehillim, Ayin Aleph, reads, V'tzidkoscha l'kim dolos l'kim och this afternoon. We say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your tzidkus is ad marom. It's really too high for us to understand. Asher asisa gedolos, the great things that you did, Elokim michamocho, who's like you? What is so great about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What is so difficult to understand? Asher hirisani tzoros rabos. Because hirisani, or we read hirisanu, because you showed us tremendous tzoros. The Ra'os, Soros Rabos V'Ra'os, Tashuv T'chayeni, because you brought us up face to face with Soros. And then you came back and you brought us back to life. Tashuv T'aleni, and from the depths, from the great depths, you brought me up and you brought me to the top. Terev Gedulosi V'Sisov T'nachameni. Terev Gedulosi, you made me greater than I was before. I went so far down, I couldn't imagine ever getting up at all. But in the end, I got up to a place that I never was even before. Gam ani odcha b'chli nevel amitcha elokai azam alacha b'chinor kadosh Yisrael. And I will be modet to you. I will praise you with chli nevel, with instruments. I will praise your MS, the fact that you are true to your word. It's so hard for me as I was going through it to understand what you were doing. What is Kadosh Yisrael? Kadosh is the fact that God is different from us. Lo machshavosai machshavosam. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very, very different and removed from our understanding. He doesn't do things at the pace that we expect. He doesn't do things in the way that we expect. Gamani odecho b'chli nevel. It's a fascinating thing about the phrase Odeh, modeh. How do you say thank you in Hebrew? So you'll tell me the way to say thank you in Hebrew is todah. The reality is there's no word in Hebrew for that. And that's not there's nothing wrong with Israelis. Because the word todah doesn't mean thank you. The word is from the word modeh or vidui. What does it mean to be modeh? I am modeh b'miktzat. Amoda. Amoda means to admit. Within the Hebrew language, which is so beautiful, thanking is admitting. On one level, thank you is admitting because it's so hard for me to admit that you did something for me. The reason why I don't say thank you is because I generally can't admit that it wasn't coming to me. I don't feel a real sense of gratitude. But in this context, it means something more. Gam ani odcha b'chli nevel amitecha. What does that mean? Amode. It means amode, that the things that I thought were darkness were really part of the light. That the moments that I thought, the moment that I questioned you, the moment that I reached out to you and I said, why are you doing this to me? I am mode. I thank you even for those moments. Says in our last source, the Sfasemes on Hanukkah. Sfasemes says, Inyan Halo Vahido, Vilchira Echadhu. What does it mean that Hanukkah, for example, is a holiday of Hallel and Hodah? Isn't it the same thing? And he quotes, Ki Hallel, Hu Be'or Nigla Ubahir. So what he heard was that Hallel, he heard this from his Rebbe, from his father's Rebbe, he heard that Hallel is Be'or Nigla Ubahir. Velo Shemati Yoter. He heard part of it. Hallel is not the same as Hodah because Hallel is open and clear. Velo Shemati Yoter. I didn't hear anymore. V'yir lefarish, kiloshen hoda'a, hu alma shahayanira lo tov, v'adam mode shehu tov v'chesed. I say hallel for the redemption. I say hoda'a for the goals. V'adam mode shehu tov v'chesed. Shehre gam al vidui chet nikra hoda'a. It's called Hodah. Hodah is to admit. Hodah is to admit that I don't understand, that I don't truly fathom. The message of the Maror at our table today is muted, but the idea behind it needs to be raised at the Seder. The message of the Maror at our table today is only Midrabanan. All we can really speak about is the din de Rabbanan of Maror that we're supposed to remember the Exodus. We can't really, really look at the difficulties that are going on around us and say, oh, this is good. We're not supposed to see a death. We're not supposed to hear a siren as we hear outside our windows so often and say, Baruch Hatov Vameitiv. The Gemara tells us in Sachem, Daf Nun, that at the end of time, we'll say Baruch Tov HaMeitiv on everything. But that's not the way we're supposed to behave, at least in the beginning of Tavshin Pei, at least for the first half of Tavshin Pei. The first half of Tavshin Pei, like the Gemara says, on good things, we say Atov HaMeitiv, and on bad things, we say Baruch Dayan HaEmes. We have to be real. We can't assume so much. We can't be so pompous as to assume that we see the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all the bad. And yet, it needs to be mentioned at the table. Maror today is only the Rabbanan, because we're not living in a time of Geula, because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, because we don't have the Korban Pesach. So therefore, we can't truly appreciate the Gullus. We can't truly appreciate the pain while we are still in Gullus. It remains a din derabanan. It's a standalone. The Maror simply sits there on the side and it waits. It reminds us simply that we were slaves. And yet, it needs to be stated at the Seder that Maror, at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, that Maror, in fact, was a deoraisa. Because the Seder that we have is not simply a Seder of Tavshin Pei. On the whole, it has to be a Seder of Tavshin Pei. It has to be that third kind of Seder. It has to be the Seder of Tavshin Pei. It's a time of tremendous sorrow, and we are going to feel that at our starim this year. But it also has to be a Seder of the time of the Beis HaMikdash. It has to also have elements. We have to be able to fathom the possibility that all of this pain and suffering is there for a reason. So many years of slavery. So many generations that never saw the light at the end of the tunnel. How could it be? And yet they were commanded at the time of the Beis HaMikdash to take that Maror and put it together with the Pesach and to ponder, to realize, to understand that it all was for a reason. And it is all for a reason. There's a difference between saying, I know why a Kadosh Baruch Hu does these things, and saying, I trust that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does these things for a reason. Sometimes it takes a lifetime. Sometimes it takes many generations to be able to look back and to say, Now I get it. Now I have an inkling. I have the slightest idea as to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have taken us down that path. That faith needs to come to our Seder as well. And especially it needs to come to our Seder as we include the Seder, the first Seder this year, the Seder of Pesach Mitzrayim. We're going to have a Pesach Mitzrayim Seder this year. What does it say about that Seder? Huddle around each other inside. And no one was allowed to leave their home because the Mashkis was outside. Think about that. No one was allowed to leave. We were commanded by a higher power not to leave our homes because the Mashkis was outside. And we huddled inside, not exactly sure of what was going to happen. You see, in future years, the Korban Pesach was a relief. The Korban Pesach was, we were able to look back when we were in the Beit HaMikdash. The Korban Pesach represented an understanding that we had been redeemed. For sure, that first night, it was still a dream. It was still a hope. It was still a prayer. They could taste it. They knew, they looked around them, and they said, something's happening in the world. Something is going on. There must be a reason why we're stuck in our homes and we can't step foot outside. We don't understand it. We're scared of it. But we have to trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Geula is coming. That was the experience of the first Seder. It wasn't exactly putting the Maror into the full context of the Pesach. They hadn't yet quite experienced the Pesach. It was almost a belief. It was a moment out of time where we were in the stage of Geula, but not quite there yet. We could still taste the Maror, but we couldn't fully taste the Pesach. And we hadn't yet had the miracle of the matzah in front of us. There were pieces. We put all the pieces together. We weren't exactly sure what was going to be, but we hoped for a better tomorrow. That's the Seder that we're going to have this year. A Seder of Tavshin Pei, with all the worries and all the concerns and all the tears. It's a Seder where we'll miss those who are not going to be able to be at our Sedarim. It's going to be a sad moment. It's going to be a scary moment. A Seder of the time of the Beis HaMikdash, where we at least use Jewish history to reassure ourselves that we've seen this before. We've seen this before. We've been through incredibly difficult times, and there does come a Pesach. There does come a Geula, at least a partial Geula. Something will happen, and we'll be able to look back in a different way, but also a Pesach Mitzrayim with the angst and the hope that something better is going to come. May this be the year that our Seder ends. L'shana hazos b'Yerushalayim. Not next year in Yerushalayim, but this year, may we all be zocha to be in Yerushalayim. Chag kasher bari v'sameach.
Thank you so much, Rabbi
Penner. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rabbi Penner. Have a chag kasher.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to see everyone. I wish you faces, but thank you very much, Rabbi Penner.
Thank you so much. Take care.